I appreciate that. I'm glad that there is a fountain. And that fountain is open. Amen. And you can be saved by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, where we're taking our text this morning. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, I'll begin reading verse number 1, and I'm going to do a little bit of lengthy reading. I'm going to take my text from one verse, but I want to get to that and point out some things along the way. All right, Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded or command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time, to teach you statutes and judgments that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude in the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and sware that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto that good land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land, whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. Amen. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing, or hath been heard like it. Look at verse 33. Here's my text. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us, please, in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the privilege we have to be in your house.
Yes, Father. Thank you for your goodness.
Thank you so much, Lord, for the good songs that we've been enjoying.
Yes.
How they blessed and stirred my heart today, and I rejoice in it. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school conference. I ask you to bless our preacher today.
Help us, Lord.
May you take your word, Lord, and move in our hearts with it to draw us closer into thee.
Yes.
Help us. We do ask you to help those that are away from us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we're unable to be here, Lord.
Bless him, Lord.
You bless and save sinners, I pray. Yes. God, and strengthen your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Thank you for the prayer as well. Let me take just a brief moment and give you a summary of how we got to where we're at in our text. You know, this is the last book of Moses, the five books of Moses known as the Pentateuch. The book of Genesis, the first book, tells us how everything started. Brother Doug's teaching that in Sunday school. How it all began, how God made it all, and it pulls us down and finishes up with a nation called out for God. A family, actually, at that time, the family of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Jacob's sons multiplied. Jacob's got 12 sons. At the end of Genesis, they land in the land of Egypt because of the famine in the land of Canaan. So you know in the book of Genesis, there that beginning is drawn out. God pulls out a people, God a person acts, and then a people through that person. And he has a promised land. He has a promise. He said to Abraham, he said, leave Ur of the Chaldees and come to a land that I'll show you. And so God led Abraham, or Abram at that time, out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees and into that land that the Bible said he never owned a piece even so much as to put his foot on. Really the only thing he ever actually owned was a place to bury his dead. And yet God promised him that land. And Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. But the book of Exodus comes along. The children of Israel have multiplied. They're a great nation now, a nation of people, but they're in bondage to the Egyptians. The Egyptians thought because of their multiplying so rapidly, God blessed them, the fruit of their womb, that they were going to have to do something to stifle that. So they put them in bondage and they make slaves out of them. God heard the cry and God sent Moses to deliver them and said to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Thank God. Amen. And that's exactly what happened. Exodus, God did the miracles, performed, brought those plagues. broke the back of the Egyptians, broke the will of the Pharaoh, amen, and God broke the bonds of His people Israel and set them free. Then the book of Numbers, they wander through the wilderness and Moses counts them and Leviticus, I jumped to Leviticus. Leviticus is where they're at the mount. You've got Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, it's called here in Deuteronomy. God gives them the law. God tells them how they're going to worship. They're going to build a tabernacle. It does that in Exodus. Build a tabernacle, going to worship God, all this ritual and the rites that they're going to go through. And he gives them all that information on how to do that in Leviticus. Then Numbers, they've wandered for 40 years and they're come up to the border of the promised land and God's counted them when they came out of Egypt. He counts them again at the end. That's why the book's called the Numbers. God's telling all the different families and how many they are and how that God provided for them and how that God brought them through that wilderness. When they said our children will starve, our children will be prey to the giants in the land, God said, no, you'll die, but I'm going to let your children inherit that land that you had no faith that it could be inherited. Amen. So Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. That's what the name means. The second giving of the law. The rehearsing of the law. They're not at Mount Sinai any longer. They're at that Jordan River. They're at that border getting ready to cross over into Canaan land. And Moses has them sit and God in His wisdom has him rehearse for them and tell them again the law that God had given them, how they're to walk and do and live, that they might inherit that land. And Moses gives them a striking example. Moses said, I messed up, and it's keeping me out of the promised land. So he said to them, you better be careful that you do what the Lord says do. He's laying on them the impression of how holy the Word of God is, how righteous the command of God is, and how that we ought to honor that, and we ought to be awed by that. Amen. Now, the book of Deuteronomy, there's 34 chapters in this book, and it's broken down into four parts. Let me just give you those real quickly, and so I can get into my thoughts, but this might be helpful. The first three chapters of Deuteronomy deals with Israel's history, the backward look, when they look back at where they've come and what God has done, and it deals with the journeys of Israel through the wilderness. It tells all the places that they went, every place that they stopped, and how they went. But then the next chapters 4 through 11, deals with Israel's holiness. Not their history, but their holiness. It's not the backward look, it's the inward look. And they're looking at their heart. God lays all this out in chapter 4 that I read to you the majority of here already in your hearing. But it deals with the spiritual condition of these people as they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And then Deuteronomy chapters 12 through 30 deals with Israel's heritage. That is the forward look, their children that's going to be raised. And it deals with the laws concerning Israel's conquest of that land and their conduct within that land of conquest. Amen. And then the last few chapters 31 through 34, deals with Israel's hero. It deals, and by the way, that's not the backward, nor the inward, nor the forward look, but that is the upward look. They see that God had given them a man to lead them and to guide them. Amen. And Moses had been that man now for 40 years. He's getting ready to pass off the scene. God's got another man in the place, and that man is Joshua that God's going to use to help them conquer that land that He had promised them. Amen. Now, here this text that I read to you, Deuteronomy chapter 4, is the beginning of that inward look dealing with Israel's holiness, Israel's spiritual condition in these days. And Moses deals with these primary issues in this section, chapters 4 through 11. Moses deals with the law, chapter 4 through 6. He deals with the Lord, chapters 7 and 8. And he deals with the land, chapters 9, 10, and 11. And I'll say it this way, that always has been God's way, and it always will be God's way, that you face God with the law, and the law leads you to the Lord, and the Lord leads you into the land, thank God. That's the only way you can ever get in to God's promised land. You got to come face to face with the law, face to face with the Lord, and then He can lead you in to that promised land, thank God. Amen. And I'm glad that's so. Look at chapter 4, verse number 1, the first verse that I read to you, and you're hearing this morning. I want you to notice this summarizes God's plan. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. There are two commands and there are three consequences in verse number 1. The command, first of all, is to hearken. Listen to what I say. and then the command, obey, do them. You see that? Therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them. By the way, God never gives you His word for you to consider, for you to vote on. Amen. I know sometimes people say, well, I've never been convicted of such and such a thing. God don't have to convict you. For example, He don't have to convict you not to murder. He told you it's wrong to murder. You don't have to be convicted about it. Amen. Whatever He says, His word's not for you to vote on. It's not for you to see how you feel about it. It's to obey. That's what He gives His word for us to do. That's to listen, hearken, and do. Those are the commands. And then the consequences that you may live and go in, that's the second one, and possess, the third one, possess the land, so that you might live, that you might go in, and that you might possess that promised land. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, there's three things I want to point out to you this morning in my message. I don't think I'll be long, but the thoughts in this scripture that I read, verse number 33, trying to tie all this together, if I can, real quickly. This phrase in verse 33, here's what He says. He said, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard and live. I preach, this is my title. God spoke, we heard, and we live. Hallelujah. Amen. God spoke, we heard, and we live. Amen. Amen. And so He asked that question, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard and lived? All right. First of all, I want to say God's person is revealed by His speaking. God speaking out of the fire. Amen. You'd never known there was a God if God didn't tell you. Amen. God tells us in the creation. God tells us in our own conscience. Amen. I had a thought this week. Brother Billy Mitchell was preaching. By the way, if you have been listening to this broadcast, I heard it last Sunday, the last two Sundays he's been preaching a series that he's preached just for the radio. Last Sunday may have been the last one, I don't know. But he's preaching on some things that our fundamental churches have learned by watching charismatic television. And I'm telling you, some good points about how we have changed our services, how we have changed our, instead of coming into worship, we come in to be entertained. It's one of the things. And so we've gone to this entertainment. But Brother Mitchell was preaching, and he made this statement. I've heard him say it before. He said, your conscience is not enough to save you, but you'll never get saved if your conscience dies. That is good. And I'll say it again. Your conscience is not enough to save you, but you'll never get saved if your conscience dies. God has given us a conscience. And here's a thought that came to me. The word conscience. You know it, and you know, I like to study words, but in Latin, when I took Latin, the word science means knowledge, to know. By the way, that's why evolution is not science, it's theory. They don't know it. They think it. They wish it. They hope it. Amen. But it's not knowledge. It's science falsely so called. That's what Paul called it. Knowledge, the word science means knowledge. The con means with. So with knowledge, there is a knowledge in every person. There is some kind of knowledge born in them that there's somebody over them. Amen. For example, Brother Doug found my, I left my watch up here last week. Brother Doug saw that watch laying there. He didn't say, my goodness, there's a watch. Where in the world did that come from? How did it get here? No, he knew somebody made it and somebody owned it. Amen. Same, pull up in the parking lot and you see cars out there. You don't say, I wonder how in the world, I wonder if a tornado came through here and all these parts flew out of a junkyard and manufactured into a car. That's how evolution works. Just took millions of years for that tornado to blow one part and another part and another part, and it's all Chevrolet parts. No, when you see a car, you know somebody made it and somebody owns it. When you see this world, you know somebody made it and somebody owns it. That means we're going to give an account to somebody for how we use it. Amen. We're going to give an account to somebody, the one that made it, the one that owns it. We're going to give an account to them. So within us, there is a knowledge within us that there is a God out there somewhere. But we'd never known who He was if He hadn't spoken to us. Amen. Amen. I think about being in the dark, being a little bit nervous. You hear somebody, you know there's somebody out there, but you don't know who it is. Maybe they knock on your door, maybe it's in the middle of the night and you hear a knock on the door and it startles you awake. And you know there's somebody at the door, but you don't know who it is. And you hear a voice, and that voice says, "It's me. Let me in." You recognize that voice, and all of a sudden your heart is calmed because you know who it is. Amen. Can I tell you, we was in the dark, and we knew there's a God out there somewhere, but we didn't know who He was until He spoke to us. Thank God. Thank God He revealed Himself unto us with His voice, with His Word. Amen. He sent the light unto us. That's exactly what Brother Doug's teaching on this morning in our Sunday school. Amen. So Moses reveals to these people the grace of God at Mount Sinai. Boy, we see law. Boy, just a law. But it was the grace of God that God was revealing Himself to these people at Mount Sinai, that He reminds them of the voice of God that they heard when God revealed Himself to them at Mount Sinai. All the other nations knew there was a God by nature. They knew there was a God by creation, but they didn't know how or what that God was or what His demands were. Therefore, they used their imagination to make gods of their own making. Different images, different idols of their own making. I brought a visual with me this morning. I don't usually do that, but I did because I thought it'd be helpful. This is not actually an idol. It's actually a bank. It's not really a piggy bank. Melissa says it's a froggy bank. I'm not sure if it's a frog. It's some kind of creature. I thought it was the Cookie Monster from Sesame Street, but she said that was me. But whatever it is, it's a bank. But I thought that's sort of how they make idols. So I'm going to leave it out there as an illustration. I'll say something more about that in a minute. Well, they didn't know what God was, so they made a God. Now, it's a deformed God. It's a small little God. I'm glad our God's not deformed. Our God's not small. Amen. Our God's almighty. Amen. Our God's all able. He's all knowing, all sufficient. Thank God He is. Amen. So these other nations knew there's a God, but they didn't know what He was, so they used their imagination. They formed their own gods, made their own gods. But God had blessed Israel to know not only that there was one, but who He was. He spoke to them. That's how they knew God is revealed through His speaking. Now, on that occasion that Moses spoke of, and I read it to you there in Deuteronomy chapter 4, look at verses 23 and 24. I want you to see what Moses said about God. That it was a thick darkness that God was there, and there's a smoke and the consuming fire. And the people were frightened, considerably afraid of God when He's there. Moses reminds them of this and recommends a healthy fear. Look at verse number 23. "Take heed unto thyself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Paul reminded of that in the book of Hebrews. Our God is a consuming fire. And we're talking about knowing the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. There's a fear. There should be a fear of God. Amen. In one sense, a dread of God. But the plan of God in the revelation of God was not purposed that it might drive us from Him. It was not purposed that it might cause us to flee from Him, but rather that it might draw us unto Him, that He might reveal His mercy as well as His person unto us. Amen. That we might approach God by His mercy. Look at verse 31 of our same text. "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which He sware unto them." Our God revealed Himself by His speaking. God spoke. Amen. We heard and we live. God is revealed by His speaking. If you want to hold your place in Deuteronomy, I'll be back. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I've got a lot of verses. I'll read some of them, but I'll let you look at some of them with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writing to this early church at Corinth, down towards the end of his writing, chapter 12 and verse number 2, this epistle, Paul says this, chapter 12, verse 2, 1 Corinthians, "Ye know that ye were Gentiles." You know what that means? That means heathens, right? Not Jews, didn't know God. Jews knew God, Gentiles didn't know God. We was heathens, idol worshipers, all right? And ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Here's the point I want to make. Their gods are dumb idols. Not just dumb because they look silly, but dumb because they can't speak. That's what it means. They can't speak. Amen. Let me read you some verses, and you don't have to turn, but Psalm 115, verses 4 through 7, says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They can't say anything. Psalm 135 says the same thing. They can't say anything. Now, some people like that. They like to have a God that can't say anything. Because if you ask Him, is there anything wrong with me drinking and smoking and carousing? And He'll say, nothing. Amen. You say, is there anything wrong with the girls showing their underwear because their dresses are too short? Or boys showing their underwear because their pants are too saggy? You know what He'll say? Nothing. Nothing wrong with nothing, according to Him. Amen. People like that. They miss church. You know what He says? Nothing. Not responsible. Amen. They cheat on their taxes. They cheat on their wife. They cheat on all kinds of... And He says nothing. They like it. But here's what the Bible says about that as well. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. What profit the graven image that the maker thereof hath given it? Or hath graven it? The molten image and the teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. Here's what's bad. When you go to this idol and you say to the idol, I've just lost a loved one, can you give me some comfort? All he'll do is laugh at you. He won't say anything. He won't give you comfort. When you come down to the end of your life and you say, oh, I'm getting a little bit nervous and the clouds are starting to get overcast and the shadows are coming nigh to my bedside. Would you help me? He has not one word of comfort for you in that hour. Amen. Has nothing to say, nothing to comfort. But our God speaks. Amen. Our God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Our God has a lot of things that He says does that gives us comfort. When it's our love, when it passes, thank God He's a very present help in time of need. Amen. Amen. He's there to comfort us. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He ain't gonna give me no comfort. He can't go with me unless I carry Him. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. I didn't have to carry Him. He'll carry me. Amen. Amen. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. Thank God for a God that reveals Himself by speaking to us. Amen. Amen. Turn over to Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter 1. God's still speaking. Amen. Not only spoke, He's still speaking. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us. How did He do that? By His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Amen. God's still speaking, but He's speaking in a small, still voice. Amen. The Holy Ghost points men to the Son of God, and that's how God speaks. He's the Word of God for us. Amen. You'll not hear a word from God unless you hear it through the Son of God. Amen. Brother Fane Jordan, I heard him say this one time. Brother Hall might have been there. He's at Don Anderson's camp meeting. He was preaching one time. And he's on Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, where it talks about the earth being void and without form, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep. And the next verse, and God said, let there be light. Here's what Brother Jordan said. He said, God never would have spoke to that darkened world unless the Spirit had been moving. It takes the Spirit of God moving on people's heart for them to hear the voice of God. That's why it's dangerous when God said in Genesis 6, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. Amen. My Spirit shall not always strive with man. I'm afraid there may be people in our world. I'm afraid there are people in our world that the Holy Ghost is no longer speaking to them. God's no longer speaking to them because they have turned off. They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. By the way, that's that conscience with knowledge. They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. They don't want to think about God. They don't want God interrupting their thoughts. They don't want God interrupting their lifestyle. They don't want God interrupting their plans. They don't want God. And God may not speak to them again. God is revealed. God's person is revealed by His speaking. Number two, God's people are revealed by hearing. Amen. Our verse that I read to you back there in Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse number 33. Let me get back over there. Deuteronomy 4, verse 33. He said, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard? He's saying to them, you're not like all the other nations. The other nations never heard from God. The other nations didn't know God. They knew about the creation, but they didn't know who God was. They didn't know God's Son. They didn't know God's plan. But you do. Because you've been chosen of God. Amen. You've been blessed by the grace of God to be brought to this place. You was brought to the mountain and God spoke on that mountain. Amen. Listen, I thank God for the day on June the 29th or 30th, what it was, that fifth Sunday in June 1974, sitting at Chestnut Grove Independent Baptist Church when God spoke to me. Amen. When He moved on my heart and I didn't know if He's dealing with anybody else. Listen, now I know there's other sinners in the building, but I didn't know it then. Seemed like the spotlight was on one individual. And that was me. Amen. Amen. Seemed like every time the preacher preached, he pointed at one individual. It didn't matter if he's pointing this way or that way. It's me. Amen. It's me. God's people are revealed by their hearing. Other people did not hear God. Amen. God identifies Himself by speaking. God's people identify themselves by whether they hear or not. Israel heard God speak and received the law, though the other nations didn't. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, and I'll read some verses there while you're turning. I'll say this. This hearing that He's talking about, and this is a very familiar text I'm going to read to you, but this hearing that He's talking about is more than just simply auditory. Not just hearing in the ear. It's hearing that is deep and spiritual. Amen. It's hearing that goes not just into the head, but into the heart. Amen. It's a hearing that is a spiritual hearing. God wants us to hear with our ears, but He wants us to hear with our spirit. He wants us to hear with our soul. That's why Jesus repeatedly said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Amen. And by the way, every parent understands that. Sometimes you tell your children things, they hear the words, but they never really get what you're saying. Amen. They've got you zoned out, if I can say it that way. Not only every parent knows that, every preacher knows that. Amen. They can be sitting there listening, and sometimes maybe even nodding their head, but they're not really getting what you're saying. I'm afraid God speaks a lot of times in our services, and maybe not in services, maybe just throughout the day. I thank God for the radio because God can use a song or a sermon on the radio and speak to somebody's heart that we may never see or never hear from. Amen. 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 But God speaks in different times and different ways, but I'm afraid a lot of times we're not listening. Amen. We're not paying attention. Matthew 13, our Lord gives this story, this parable, I guess you could say, in verse number 10. He's given these parables, and they asked Him a question. And the disciples came and said unto Him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, you see that? But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Hallelujah. I'm glad God has allowed us through His grace to hear when God speaks to us. Amen. Amen. God's person is revealed by His speaking. God's people are revealed by their hearing. And let me say, last of all, God's protection is revealed by us hearing. Amen. He used that last phrase, have you heard, hast thou heard, and lived. Amen. Amen. What other nation is there out there that heard God speak out of the fire like you have and lived? Amen. That word live is the word that means to survive. We survive by hearing God's word. Amen. It's our best interest to hearken to the word of God. Amen. I asked that dumb idol about things, if was any of that stuff wrong. God's word tells us what's right and what's wrong. Amen. Society changes. Amen. People's ideal of morality changes, but truth don't change. Amen. Truth don't change. God's word is still right. It's best, the best thing for us is to hearken to God's word. It'll help us to live. Amen. 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 It's best not only for us to hear it and live, but it's best for us to live what we hear. Amen. Live it out. That's what this world's dying to see. Somebody living out what God actually said. Amen. Destruction and devastation comes by rejecting God's word. It comes by not listening to God's word, by refusing to regard the word of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, our Lord gives an illustration and a parable about those that hear these sayings of mine, He said, and do them not. It's like a man that builds his house on the sand. Remember? He's a foolish man. Builds his house, might be a fine looking house, might stand for a while, might be admired by all of his neighbors, but it does not have a foundation. Other man takes time. Luke says he digs deep. That's how Luke said it. He digs deep and gets it grounded on the rock. What is the rock? The rock is hearing the word of God and doing the word of God. Sand is hearing without doing. Amen. But that wise man builds his house on the rock, and the winds came on both of them, and the waves beat on both of them, and only one of them stood. One of them fell, and the Bible says, great was the fall of it. Amen. What was that? That was a man building sand castles. He's out on the beach. You've seen it. Kids do it. They build these little sand castles, and they look great, and we may admire them. But the first little wave that comes by, first time the tide comes in, and it's washed away and gone. Listen, I'm telling you, we're headed down to the end of this thing. The tide is coming in. Amen. It's going to wash away these sand castles that are built, amen, on sinking sand. Let me ask you today, we're in church. This is what church is supposed to be. We're supposed to hear from God, right? We say it, Lord, speak to me. We pray, Lord, when sinners come, speak to them. Speak to me. Show me what I need. Show them what they need. And help us surrender and hear what God says do. And obey what God says do. Now here's, I believe it. I trust God that God, when His Word goes forth, it will not return void. That God speaks to people right to this day. Amen. I believe He's still speaking to people. Matter of fact, He still speaks to me. Amen. Still speaks to me. I ask you a question. Is He speaking to you today? It's your interest to live. It's your interest to do. Hearken and do what He says, that you might go in and possess it and live. Amen. Survive. Here's what Hebrews chapter 3 verses 15 through 19 says. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcass fell in the wilderness? To whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's the question. Is God speaking to you today? If He is, listen. Surrender to His will. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You that You speak. Holy Spirit, I'm glad that You still move. And Son of God, I'm glad You still save. Father, I pray You'll speak this morning, that the Spirit will move, that people might come to Christ and be saved. That saints might put aside those little false gods, those little false idols that they've made in their life, that can't speak, that can't help. Lord, they turn to Thee, the only one that can help. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we stand and sing, if the Lord spoke to your heart, you need to do something, you obey the Lord and do what He says.